This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070.
Steve Safran joins us on the phone from Boston. He is the Senior Vice President of Media 2.0 at ARND. He's also the managing editor at LostRemote.com. Good afternoon, Steve.
I got to say, of all the radio shows that I go on, and I go on a few of them, this one has by far the best intros.
Well, thank you, sir.
Dora the Explorer. That's outstanding.
Dora rocks, man.
Good work, my man.
How are you? I'm great. How are you doing?
Good to be on here. I'm doing well.
Congratulations on ARND. That is very exciting.
Thank you, and explain
to folks exactly what it is you do.
As soon as I know, I'll be happy to explain to them. Do new media consulting. We go around to various television station groups, radio groups, newspaper groups, and preach the gospel about online media, help them build media businesses, and get information to people online where they want it, when they want it, and hopefully get information to people in a timely way. You know, the world of journalism has changed.
Absolutely.
Steve, people may have noticed.
From your experience, who's really getting it? Who gets it and who doesn't get it?
Well, I don't want to get into who doesn't get it because we don't have a long enough show here. Unfortunately, there's a lot of outlets that don't get it, and it's frightening. We've seen too many stories this week that are prime examples of overblown, over-sensationalized coverage, and to me, that is a clear example of not getting it. On the other hand, being an old media outlet doesn't necessarily mean they don't get it. I think the New York Times has done a terrific job of converting their model. They have a terrific web presence right now. Gannett is doing a very good job. They're about to roll out a whole new look for USA Today. I've seen a little sneak preview online. I think it's great. There are some radio station groups that are doing a very good job online. Right now, the people who are lagging, of all places, in video online especially, are the television stations. Right now, newspaper and radio are doing the best jobs in video online, and the TV stations are the ones that don't get it.
Isn't that amazing? Why is that?
Because they're comfortable in their old model, and the ones that are being experimental are the ones where the experiments are paying off. Newspaper and radio, they're willing to be experimental. Television are the ones that think they know everything, and consequently, they know nothing.
Wow. And I noticed on Lost Remote recently that Bob Wright of NBC Universal said, we got to go digital now.
Yeah, actually, they had to go digital before now, but it's great to see NBC. NBC is doing a really good job reinventing itself. NBC Universal has recently really revamped, and they recognize better, I think, than any network right now going that they need to meet people on their own terms, and they're really doing a very good job. I was there in New York at their headquarters a couple of weeks ago, and it's not just lip service. They are really trying to adapt to the realities of the new media world.
Well, I'm one of those people that they're adapting for, because I'll tell you, I have DirecTV, so I don't have the networks, but I really like Studio 60 and 30 Rock. I really enjoy those, and I watch them online at NBC Rewind.
Well, my condolences on Studio 60.
Yeah.
That's getting pulled.
Yep.
But you're right. You should be able to watch all of your favorite shows online. It shouldn't be, well, you have to watch those Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Why? I want to watch it when I want to watch it. And if you'll let me watch it off of your official site, that's great. But otherwise, I am going to go to the YouTubes or the unofficial downloaded places because you won't meet me on my terms.
Steve Safran is the Senior Vice President of Media 2.0 at ARND, and he's the Managing Editor at LostRemote.com. Steve, you had a recent blog post regarding the market news yesterday, that the market dropped and everybody's talking about this huge plunge. Put this into perspective for us.
Well, everybody talked about the point drop. Oh my goodness, it's dropped 400 points. This is insane. It's the biggest drop since the day after 9/11. And what nobody was talking about was the percentage drop. And television news is now doing an awful job putting these things into perspective. This turned out to be a 3% drop, which if you have a lot of money in the market, losing 3% in one day is substantial. But this was the 268th largest drop in history, which, you know, is substantial, but doesn't deserve round-the-clock screaming cable news front page of the newspaper with a giant graph that looks like a roller coaster slamming into the ground kind of coverage. TV news, newspaper, even the web, everybody is guilty right now of screaming the headline without giving the context. And whether it's Anna Nicole Smith or President Ford, everybody gets the wall-to-wall coverage right now. And that is why the media is getting a bad rap right now, and rightly so. We are not putting stories into the right context.
And why is it that we're not? What's the challenge or challenges that would prevent this from happening?
Well, there's an element of pandering to it, certainly. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm above a certain amount of that. I was on a JetBlue flight home. I think I was one of the few people that caught a JetBlue flight recently. On a JetBlue flight home, and they mercifully have the satellite TVs on there, and I was watching the very entertaining judge in the Anna Nicole Smith trial. And those, I'm not saying that those sorts of things shouldn't be available, but the online world makes the possibilities of context available to us. And I think that the mainstream news outlets need to embrace that, and they need to be able to do a better job of giving the people who want the information and the context and putting it there. I had to go digging when the question occurred to me of the percentage drop and its place in history. I had to go digging for that. When we had the story here in Boston about that little cartoon thing that everybody thought was a bomb, I went online, and while the Boston police were looking around saying, "What is this? This is a bomb device. We're closing down the city of Boston." All I had to do was go online, find out what it was, and put it into context. Nobody is doing this, and it frustrates me.
And folks should know, actually, and tell us more details on that you actually broke the story on that quote-unquote bomb scare in Boston, that it, in fact, wasn't a bomb scare. There was some scare there, but no bomb. And you broke that story.
It is somewhat of a dubious distinction that I protected Boston from evil SpongeBob, isn't it? there were these. There was a guerrilla marketing campaign in Boston for one of the programs on Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network, and it showed this character from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And if you haven't heard of that, folks, don't worry. Most people hadn't. And there were these little light-up signs all around town. The Boston police found them. They were suspicious of the devices. They shut a bunch of the city down. Turns out these things were in 9 or 10 different cities around the country, had been up for a couple of weeks. So I did a quick Google search, found out what they were, put them up at Lost Remote. The reporters started asking about it, and yeah, this little blogger here in his pajamas, I think anyway, broke the story. So, you know, I'm embarrassed to say so, frankly, because it's the kind of thing that journalism should be doing a better job at.
Or even the police.
Yeah, well, especially the police. But I don't blame them so much. The police were doing what they should do when they're faced with unknown devices. It was, the journalists sitting around not doing the investigating online, which is a wonderful tool for investigating. You know, didn't anybody think to Google search this thing? I mean, I am not a brilliant journalist for having thought to, you know, look in Flickr to see if there are any pictures matching that description. I don't think that deserved a Pulitzer.
Steve Safran's the managing editor at LostRemote.com. Tell us your reactions to the new Vista. Microsoft Windows unveiled a new operating system. I and you, of course, are big Mac fans.
So I
have not had any, and will not likely have any experience with Vista, but you did.
I did, yeah. I got a Vista laptop, and you know, it's too easy for a Mac guy to bash Vista, so I've been trying to find things that I like about it. And I've been trying and trying and really, really trying. And I will say that the Windows Media Center, the interface that you hook up to your television for your DVD playing, it's kind of an ersatz TiVo. It connects with your cable and to your television and now to online video. So you can connect directly instead of going to the website for Comedy Central or MTV or VH1. You can connect with your remote to television. A real, true convergence model is wonderful, and that beats anything that Apple has. Having said that, the rest of Vista is really frustrating. There's that ad for the Mac guy and the Apple guy.
Yeah, I love
that
those.
Security guy standing behind. You know, Apple is attempting to talk to you. Do you wish to continue?
Right, right.
Yes. That describes it so well. I liken Vista to an over-concerned soccer mom talking to her kid, put on your shin guards. Are you sure you want to go near the ball? Hurry, be careful, Kyle. It asked me when I tried to check my email 4 times if I was sure I wanted to do that. Vista works really well, except with other Microsoft products. Then it's been a nightmare for me.
What are your thoughts about in the digital radio world, the announcement that XM and Sirius were interested in merging?
Yeah, at Las Remote, we figured that this is going to happen for 4 or 5 years or now. I got XM satellite radio. Other people have Sirius. Basically, the choice comes down to whether or not you want to pay for Howard Stern or Major League Baseball. Those are about really the only differences in it. And it's it makes perfect business sense. They really do need to merge from a business point of view. The regulatory obstacles to it are enormous. Mel Karmazin, who runs Sirius Satellite Radio, is not to be underestimated. I mean, I'm not going to say, Mel doesn't know what he's talking about. He has surely thought this through, but never underestimate, and you guys are a lot closer to Washington than I am, never underestimate the bureaucracy down there. And, they have antitrust laws to go through. They have the FCC to go through. There are a lot of barriers in the way to that one, and there are more people predicting that it won't go through than it will go through. I hope it does go through, but there's a lot in the way.
And you hope it goes through why? Do you have one of them now?
I have one of them now, and what I have XM, and what I'm afraid of is that separate, neither of them will be able to stand, and that it won't be a matter of, there's a monopoly, and now we don't have a choice because we have to go with one. It'll be, the whole thing failed, and now we don't have a choice because we don't have anything.
I do a show here, a broadcast free. You just buy a radio or in your car, and you turn it on, and you can listen to this program, but I'm not embarrassed to say that I have XM radio, and we have it in one of our cars.
Sure.
And I enjoy it. I think it's pretty cool.
I worked at a broadcast television station. I also subscribe to cable. It's not a matter of one or the other. It's giving people a complimentary amount of choices. What's wrong with that? Nothing.
We're talking with Steve Safran, the Senior Vice President of Media 2.0 at AR&D, and he's the Managing Editor at LostRemote.com. We were talking earlier about the new Vista and Internet video now available in your living room. Mac also has plans, don't they? They have a new Mac TV or something coming out?
Yeah,
Apple TV.
It's a little box, and this one's easier to describe. It's a box that hooks up to your Apple and sends people are now familiar with being able to download videos through the iTunes Music Store. You play them on your iPod. This one straddles the last few feet across your living room and sends the video from... Actually, hooks up to your TV. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Sends the video from the computer to the box, and the box hooks up to your TV. So you watch downloaded video from your computer instead of on your iPod to your TV. It's supposed to come out this month. There have been a few delays. Now they're saying it'll come out in March.
And it's not even out yet, but they're already selling more of them than they are iPods.
Tons of pre-orders for it. Interesting, too, that iPhone that Apple's coming out with, from what I've heard, tons of pre-orders from that. All Apple needs to do is say they're coming out with something, and people will shell out money with sight unseen. Remarkable.
So, Steve, with Internet video now available on our TV sets, you can hook it up so it'll play on your plasma, on the wall. We have finally reached this point now that people like you have been talking about for years and years, that one day this will happen. Well,
yes.
Now that we're here, we really have reached the point now where everybody can have their own TV show.
That's correct. Everybody can broadcast themselves. TV stations have to recognize that they are no longer just in the TV station business. They are in the content business. It gets pretty wild. Non-traditional broadcasters, businesses who traditionally have gotten their message out by advertising, can now suddenly be a TV station, can be a broadband video station. I go around to companies and talk about, why are you wasting your money on a 20-second ad in the middle of a break that people are fast-forwarding through anyway, when for a fraction of the price of producing that and the ad time that you're buying, you can have a very rich, fun, entertaining broadband video offering that people are going to pull up and watch on their TVs. Changes the whole advertising model, and in a fundamentally good way.
And we are to the point now where a company, for example, or a university, University of Virginia is right down the street, they could be doing and should be doing their own TV online video. I mean, you could have an alumnus, for example, who's in England, sit on their couch and watch the University of Virginia TV show.
Wouldn't that be fantastic? You know, people say, well, there's going to be too many choices, There are tons of choices online anyway. It isn't meant to confuse people. It's meant to give people more and more options. The knock on online video has always been, and rightly so, people don't want to sit at their computers and watch video for half an hour. That is over. You can now watch from your couch. I've seen it in Vista. It's going to happen with the Apple stuff. That's over. It's a democratization of video, and everybody should be happy about that.
So we're going to see online video now that is going to get it's going to get better and better, and it's going. We're going to move away from the little clips to now that you can watch it in your living room to whole programs.
Right, and you can already see whole programs on the network sites on ABC, on NBC, Fox. You can already see those programs anyway, so that's just going to mean a jump from the computer to the TV. And it's very interesting to see what happens to local affiliates now that the networks are bypassing the old, they send the signal to a local transmitter which sends it to your television model when you can bypass a local affiliate. What will that mean for the local affiliates? We tell them that they need to get into the local content programming business, just like what you're doing, Coy.
So more local issues, more local talk, more local the high school football games, you name
Absolutely.
It.
Reflect your community. Give me a reason to watch you and not to go to the NBC site proper. Yeah.
We're talking with Steve Safran of LostRemote.com. Steve, tell us, you have the LostRemote.com site, and speaking of the remote, Robert Alder passed away recently. Tell folks who Robert Alder is.
Inventor of the remote. Yeah, the clicker, as we say in Boston.
The clicker.
I think it's funny. People still call it the clicker. There's a whole generation that have grown up with the remote that people still call it the clicker. The thing doesn't click anymore.
I remember when it clicked.
It's funny. It used to click, and it used to send out a radio frequency that the TV heard, and it made that, because it still had the dial on the TV, right? It actually physically moved the dial mechanically.
Yeah, yeah.
He invented the clicker, and that was the first device that changed the equation and put control in the hands of the audience. And it's not hyperbole to say that, because it was a pain for people to get off the couch, get up and change the TV, and that was the first time people started skipping through the commercials. That was the first time that you heard people on TV shows saying, don't touch that dial, we'll be right back. People didn't really get up and change the channels during commercials. I'll just sit here and wait. So we owe a great deal of debt to that man, because he presaged new media with the clicker.
He instantly gave people more. He made choice more of a. It was more reasonable. It was going to happen. You had choice.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, you talk about having a vision with that one device. It changed the equation before videotape did. And before the web did, that was the first thing that put some control, pun intended, in the hands of the audience.
My guest is Steve Safran, the managing editor at LostRemote.com. Steve, look in your crystal ball 10, 15, 20 years, which is, if you're as old as I am, I'll be 41 next month. That's a blink of the eye.
Hey, I'm only 39. You're much older.
What do you see happening? We're talking about internet video now available. You can set it so it'll go from your computer to your TV in your living room. That's happening right now. Where do you see us in 20 years?
I'm lousy with predictions. But what is inevitable is that we stop talking about this in terms of web video and broadcast video, and we stop talking about it in terms of the platform, that it all just becomes information, and you get it wherever you are and however you want it. That, if I want, instead of saying, well, that's on the radio, it's on the device that I have that gets the audio in the way that I want it. There will certainly be devices that you and I and the audience haven't thought of yet. I mean, who would have imagined cell phones in the incarnation that they are 25 years ago? Who would have thought of YouTube 2.5 years ago? Those kinds of things. So the way that we get information constantly changes, but our need for information doesn't. So the ubiquity of it will continue. And all, I think, in very positive ways. People get frightened, I think, of information overload. And I think that we're going to see the antidote to that there's going to be much more clarity of the noise out there, that we're going to be able to cut through advertising noise, information will be more personalized, and it will improve people's lives rather than clutter it. Is that a
suitably
vague enough answer?
Steve Safran is the Senior Vice President of Media 2.0 at AR&D and the Managing Editor at LostRemote.com. Steve, it's always an honor, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Greg.
Take care. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at CVillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit CVillePodcast.com for more.